Very happy to have our next guest on. Over 1,000 NHL games, and of course a real crowd favorite with the Maple Leafs in the late 80s, and you see him as a fixture on NHL and NBC with Pierre McGuire and Doc Emmerich. Usually he is Ed Olchuk. It's also, how many guys interview you who saw you play with the Stratford Colletons? Because I'm raising my hand. I grew up in London, so I saw. Seriously, I did. I'm not that old though either.
Well, you were one of those young kids pounding on the glass asking from one of my old Titans.
Oh my heavens! Yes.
Yeah, back in the day, it was nice to be with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Junior B must have been pretty. I mean, back then it was open season on. You were a younger star. I remember Dan Quinn was with the London Diamonds, and he had to avoid a lot of 19-year-old guys trying to make a name for themselves, running at them, right?
Yeah, I left. I went to Stratford right when I was 16 years of age, and you know, playing in a league that had you know, guys from 16 to 20, and it was intimidating. But I went up there with a couple of teammates here from Chicago, and played against a lot of guys over the course of time. In my travels in Stratford, and you know, the Stratford Colletons are probably one of the very best Junior B hockey programs that have developed NHL players. I mean, you think about Rob Blake and Chris Pronger, two Hall of Famers. You know, obviously at different times, but Louis DeBrusque and Nelson Emerson, and I mean, just, you know, you can go on and on and on to all the guys that have played in Stratford. But it was a important part for my you know, kind of the set of the stairway to get to the National Hockey League, and getting that opportunity to go up there and play for the Flanagan family and play for the Colletons was a great honor, and one of those things I remember fondly of playing 1 year in Stratford Junior B hockey.
Ed Olchuk, kind enough to join us. Let's start with the city you know well, where you were born, and then we'll work our way out. The moves last week for the Blackhawks, they're hard to question any team and any management group and any coach that's won three cups as quickly as they have. But what did you think of the moves? Panarin for Saad to get him back. He signed for obviously longer, and Panarin would have been into big money pretty soon. But also Hjalmarsson going out. A lot of people are concerned that'll ding their blue line next year.
Yeah. Well, I think when you look at the totality of everything that transpired, from, you know, losing their backup goaltender and Scott Darling, who they weren't going to be able to sign and had a terrific season. I mean, don't underestimate how good the goaltending was last year for the Blackhawks with Corey Crawford and Scott Darling. And Darling was a big part of that. And that's one of the reasons why Carolina was so active in getting him into the fold and signing him, you know. And then you had the Marian Hossa news, with him, you know, being lost for the season. They lost Trevor Van Riemsdyk. So all of a sudden you're trying to wrap your head around, you know, those particular situations, some because of decisions made by the team, others, and the other one because of the illness with Marian Hossa. And all of a sudden then you have these two big trades come down. So for me as a hockey guy, you're looking at trying to wrap your head around. And my first initial thought was, after everything that transpired, including the two trades with Hjalmarsson and Saad, was, okay, well, what's next? You know, like, is this the team that they're going to start the season with? And Stan Bowman has managed this team extremely well over the course of the last, you know, 7-8 years. And, you know, you could argue, you know, some of the contracts and those type of things and the salary cap. But, you know, that was the first initial thought I had, was, okay, well, something else has to be coming, right? Because your blue line takes a major hit when you lose two of your top five defensemen. And then as far as the Saad for Panarin, two different type of players. Saad, more of an inside player, inside the dots, more straight ahead, go to the front of the net, play a different type of style. And, you know, look, Panarin's a, you know, he's a pretty salty player, and he got a great opportunity to play with Patrick Kane. Both those guys helped each other. So I think, long-winded, I think it'll be interesting dynamic, because this team has really changed, not only because of the bold moves by Stan Bowman, who said after the Blackhawks got swept by the Nashville Predators, and really the Blackhawks got out-hockeyed in every possible way in that first round of playoffs, he said it was unacceptable, change was going to happen, and change has happened. Now, what type of team are they going to have from the first, you know, first opening day of the regular season, and then probably most importantly, how are they going to look come the trade deadline? And then, you know, everybody will be able to decipher if they made the right moves or not.
So then what is next for them? Because Elliot Friedman brought up in his 30 thoughts that Sam Gagner might be an interesting option to replace Panarin. And they obviously do need to shore up the blue line before the season starts.
Well, again, I mean, it all comes down to, capability. I mean, what do they have? I mean, there is not, with still having Marcus Kruger on the books, not knowing what's happening with the situation with Marian Hossa, they have cap issues. So, I'm not sure how you're going to stick handle your way through there unless you get some cap space. And, for managers in this league, the greatest asset that you can have, and I know it gets harder, but that's why, you got to pay your really good players, and then you got to put the screws to the guys that are the good players. And you got to be able to say, look, we like this player. He's done a lot for us. But if the guy's a 10 to 15 point guy and he's a penalty killer and he wins some faceoffs for you, you can't pay that type of player $3 million or more. Like, you just can't do that. So, what can they do? Well, they can't do anything unless they have cap space. And I'm sure that's something that Stan and his staff are diligently working on. And, I think they'll probably get some clarity at some point here with, the situation, with Marian Hossa. I mean, worst case scenario, if, the ruling comes down from the league as far as, is it going to be an LTI situation? Will they be penalized at all the different, aspects of the salary cap? With somebody, we've seen it with other players that have been injured or, whatever the terminology is, you've seen those players get moved out to open up that cap space. So I'm sure that, they have some options when it comes to Marian Hossa, but, what can they do? Well, they really can't do anything until they have some clarity on what they're going to have with the cap.
Ed Olchuk, NBC, joining us. Brady and Price, Elliot Price out, J.D. Bunkus in, up here till 9 o'clock. Let me ask you, a lot of noise when a good team gets eliminated from the playoffs, and there was a lot of noise around the Capitals after losing to Pittsburgh. It feels like it's settled, but every year we ask this, and we've been doing this, Ed, since George McPhee was there, asking, is there a big core change? And not that it all revolves around Ovechkin. They re-signed TJ Oshie for long term. They're going to lose Alzner. Will we see mostly the same Caps team back when you're doing games in the fall?
Well, I think it's going to be a different team just because of all the guys' contracts that were up for the Washington Capitals. And, I don't think they had much choice with TJ Oshie. I think they had to. He was an important part. He has been an important part to their team over the course of the last couple of years since he was traded from St. Louis. I don't think they had much of a choice. They needed to get him in a fold because he does give you a little bit of something. He gives you a little bit of everything up and down that lineup. I mean, he's a good penalty killer. He's a really good power play guy. He can bang some bodies, and obviously he can score, but look, you're right. I mean, the expectations have been, and, they've gone for it here the last, especially last year with the move of going getting Kevin Shattenkirk. But it is going to be a much different team because you look at the back end. The back end's going to be different. They lost Nate Schmidt, who played really well for them. Brooks Orpik's getting a little bit older. No Kevin Shattenkirk. You mentioned Carl Alzner. It seems like he's going to be out the door. So this is a much different-looking team. But, you still got a good core there on the back end. With Carlson, with Niskanen, with Orlov, and then you have the guys up front with Backstrom and Oshie and Ovechkin and Kuznetsov. Kuznetsov, I think, is an emerging star in this league if he can find some consistency. So, look, it's going to be that way until they finally get it done or Alexander Ovechkin's out of the league, right? Everybody's going to always zero in on them, and rightfully so, and until they can go breaking through that door, the questions will be valid.
I mentioned your excellent seasons here in Toronto before, a really bad season for the team, and then you're off to Winnipeg and then New York. Your first season here coming from Chicago was the late Dave Semenko's last in the NHL. I was shocked by, not the universality of how many people loved him, but I looked up his penalty minutes. He never had more than 200 penalty minutes, and you just feel like he fought twice a night, but you could tell us no one would challenge him. So there were weeks you'd go, he patrolled out there more than took the gloves off every night and sawed guys off. What are your memories of playing with him?
Yeah, obviously just super sad to hear, that Sammy had passed, just hearing the news over the course of the last couple of weeks and then just all of a sudden just taken from us way too soon. I got a chance to know Sammy pretty well. We used to ride together all the time, out to the airport and, travel back and forth together. And, Just a terrific guy, right? I mean, I knew of him, obviously, from his days in Edmonton and me playing in Chicago and playing against those teams in the West and then getting a chance to be around him for a short period of time in Toronto. But just a fun guy, just one of those typical hockey guys. And, we're pretty lucky in our sport where, most guys are legit guys and they're the same way. Whether they win or lose, or whether they've had a good night or a bad night, or you see those guys 25 or 30 years down the road, and seeing Sammy scouting like he was for the Oilers for many years, and seeing him on the travels, he was the same guy. He never changed. That's the one thing that I respected most about him, because you do see a lot of guys that all of a sudden, go from being a player or your roommate with the guy, or all of a sudden they become, high on the totem pole in an organization, and all of a sudden they won't give you the time of day. And Sammy was the complete opposite. He was just a terrific human being. And, he didn't play many games for the Leafs, but he was one of those guys that you felt a little taller and a little tougher, and the plums felt a little bigger when Dave Semenko was out on that ice. But Sammy was He was just a legit guy and a pro's pro and a real good teammate, and certainly just sad to hear of his passing way too soon.